Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so on page 4. Okay. In conclusion, it is said that he who knows this, after departing from this world, after attaining the anamaya person, pranamaya person, manamaya person, vijnanamaya person, and finally the anandamaya person, assumes a form according to his desire. And sings this sama concerning Brahman, while moving above the world. Oh, is that what it is? Huh? Yeah, yeah. No, it's the thing that the boys always say. Etat samagayan aste ha u ha u ha u ahamannam 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 ahamannado hamannado hamannadaha ahagga shloka krita Ahamasmi pratama jaritasya purvam devebhyo amritasya na bhai yomadadhati sai devama vaha ahamannamannamadantamadmi aham vishvam bhuvanamabhya bhavam suvarna jyotihi ya evam veda ityupanishata. That's the Sama they're talking about. The Smriti also describes the Anamaya Purusha, Anandamaya Purusha. Among the manifestations known as Anamaya and so forth, you are the ultimate one, entering within the material coverings along with the living entity, and assuming the same forms as those the jiva takes. Distinct from the gross and subtle material manifestations, you are the reality underlying them all. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-17. So again, this is the prayers of the personified Vedas, right? So the point is that whatever form is there, whatever action that form can perform, whatever results that form gains, that's all the Lord. So the whole point is to not understand that is to not actually know. Right, so it's fine if we don't know that technically, but we know the Lord. So then things will work. But when we don't know that and we don't know the Lord, then we have a problem. Yes.
So the Lord has a form that corresponds to all the 8,400,000 species of life?
Yes. He comes in incarnations in all of them.
So there's a Bat Lord?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, but what's the pastime? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think when he comes as a mosquito, then all the demigods come as bumblebees.
Is that true?
Yeah. I think that's mentioned in the Sringa Purana. It's like about a 5-minute pastime. Is that a whole lot you can do as a mosquito?
Yeah. Does that mean that all of those forms are mentioned in Shastra?
Yes, because we have 400,000 verses of the Purana. I think there's a billion verses total. You know, so 400,000 is about all we can handle. I mean, 18,000 is over our heads, let alone 400,000. So a billion is way beyond. So different parts of the universe, they know different aspects of the Puranas like that. You know, that I know of, at least in, when it comes to all the 8,400,000, Yamaraj's, Bhagavatam has all those pastimes. So that way, when, you know, he's awarding all these bodies to the living entities, he can always remember the Lord. Okay. Yes.
So he appears in every of the human species as well.
Whatever the 400,000, yes.
Okay.
Yes. But the point is that he's the potency that makes it work. So every form that's there now, it's all aspects of the universal form. So the potency of all of them come from the Lord. So that means he is all that. So according to what you meditate upon, that aspect of the Lord you obtain. Right? So if you think about a particular form, that's what you obtain. Because you're thinking about the Lord, but because you're not connecting it to the Lord, then you only attain the material aspect of that. Right? Now if you think of Anandamaya, Brahman, of the Lord as a person in his relationship with the devotees, then you attain that Anandamaya Purush. Right? Just like the impersonalists, they only see the Brahman aspect of the Lord. The yogis only see the Paramatma aspect of the Anandamaya. So they attain that. So whatever you meditate upon, that's what you obtain. That's why when you think of something material, you take birth again in the material world in that situation. But if you think of the Lord, then you go to the Lord. So it's a general principle, because Krishna is everything. We're thinking, okay, it's material. You know, you've been a rat bag. You thought of the material world. You came here, of course. And you think of Krishna, then you're rewarded with the good going there. But that's looking at it in pious and impious. Which, when it's applied to Krishna, it works. Because pious means connected to Krishna. Impious means not connected to Krishna. But the point being made here is him being everything. Then we're meditating on something. So whatever it is we're meditating upon, that's what we're attaining the result of. But the point is when you see it in connection with the Lord, that's when you start to advance. That's when it gets serious. So when you, like we said, when you see the Lord, he's nourishment. He's what's making everything. He's maintaining it. Then that's the Anamaya Purush. Right? And from there, then you progress up to Anandamaya. Yes.
You're talking about this principle of progression. So then we see that in our stages of devotion, we have progression also from Shraddha to Prema.
Right.
So then there's the mechanics, and then there's the relationship through the mechanics. So
yes.
How is one making sure that one is moving in the right way, as opposed to an artificial focus on a specific situation?
The point is it about Krishna, or is it about the situation that we're seeing Krishna through? That's the difference. Because we tend to look at the situation then connect it to Krishna, rather than look at Krishna and then apply that in the situation. Right? Means, in other words, it's a diff, means you're always going to see the secondary first. But the point is how quickly do you remember the primary? The gopis see a black tree, they immediately remember the primary. It's not that they don't see a tree, but that just an immediate, simultaneous, they think of the primary. You know, we'll see a tree, and then, you know, what can we get from the tree? So that's all secondary aspects. And then, okay, we can get something, we can do this, and we'll do that for Krishna. So we do get to Krishna, but the thing is it takes a few more steps and takes longer.
So the measure of advancement is...
Yeah, how quickness, how, basically if it's simultaneous or how long it takes or it never gets there. Yes.
And I heard this and I just want to check it out with you, that the different souls who have eternal bodies, like in the spiritual world, there's bees, there's turtles, there's swans,
right.
So many different forms. That they worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that particular form, and now that they're in Vaikuntha, they're thinking, I have a form like my Lord. So
okay.
I heard that, and I just want to make sure, is that a correct understanding?
I'm sure it could work like that. Yeah. You know, if it's Vaikuntha, then I would say is that, but in Goloka, then it would just mean that the basic point is that means they're in Shanta Ras. So in Vaikuntha you have Shanta and Dasya Ras, while in Goloka you'll have all five Rasas. So basically I would say it's not that every living entity in Shanta Ras is necessarily a jiva. I would say most of them are probably Sandini potency. They're internal potency but coming from the Sandini. So their service is creating the environment in which Krishna performs his pastimes. And then there may be jivas who have an interest in that kind of service, so then they take that role. So I would say that will be the position in Goloka. In Vaikuntha, then they may have that, because if they're interested in Swarupya, that would be just a unique way of attaining Swarupya. Like that. Because generally speaking, in the spiritual world, then all, like in the Sringadeva, in the spiritual world, has a regular forearm form. It's just a matter of where the conch, club, disc, and lotus are. So only when he's in the Mahatattva, then he manifests the half man, half lion. You know, but it could work that, it would work like that. But that's for those who are interested in Swarupya, so that's not us. Madhvas, that's their whole point, is Swarupya. So then that may be a point coming from the Madhva line. But for us, that's not important to us. Okay. The Smriti also describes this Anandamaya Purush. Oh, okay, no, we just read that, right? Yeah, that was that you are the reality underlying them all. So reason everything works, it has its attraction, it has its function that work, is because it's the Lord. That's why it works. Otherwise it won't work. Does that make sense? It's him. But the point is then he's taking those because of our conditioning, so therefore he's taking those positions, and that will be the thing. He is the nourishment, he is the life, he is the thinking, feeling, willing, he is the aspect of understanding the difference between matter and spirit, whichever is the central point of consciousness. Does that make sense? So anamoya is nourishment, the basis is the earth, because all nourishment comes out of the earth. Like this, but that will manifest in somebody just being interested in sense gratification, you know, just interested in that which they can perceive with the, you know, intelligence or the mind, like this. So it'll always be based on the senses. Right? Does that make sense? Then your pranamoy, it'll be based on appreciating life in other living entities. But that'll manifest as all the various social systems and all these different things, economics, justice, morality, these things like that. That's how it'll manifest. But its root is appreciating life. Right? Then thinking, feeling, and willing is the essential point. That means then, where does this come from? What are the rules for it? What is proper thinking? What is proper feeling? What is proper willing? Right, so if that's based on God consciousness, then it'll have a solid thing. And if it's not, I mean, it'll always be based on God consciousness, but it's just a matter of how scientific is it. Right, so the Vedic is very scientific. It's the Varnashram system, and the modern, they'll follow the same thing, but not very scientifically. So it's all, things are mixed up to the point of insanity. Right, and then Vijnanamaya, then the essence will be telling the difference in matter and spirit. Now, whether they understand the Vedic version, they're able to deal on that level or not. You know what I'm saying? But the point is the essential point will be being able to tell there's a difference between matter and spirit. Does this make sense? So all these levels of consciousness, they have that essential point. So Krishna is that essential point. And he's also the forms and activities that essential point takes. But ultimately, he's Anandamaya, which means that the supreme person who has relationships with the devotees. That'll be the ultimate form. Does that make sense? So the idea is that this is pointing out how at all times, all places, all circumstances, you can see the Lord. Right? That's the whole idea. Does that make sense? In a very simple way, because everything that you're interested in is all Krishna. And as soon as you see like this, then that whole points of passion and ignorance, all these things, they just go away. Because it's the Lord, so then how do you deal with the Lord? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So is it correct to understand that if you have infinite variety in the original, you'll also have infinite variety in the reflection? Or
yes, but the point is that here you have varieties that are not necessarily so important in the spiritual world, and then you'll have varieties in the spiritual world that you don't have here. So it's only how much is necessary. Because the living entity is focused on the secondary, then what are the mathematical combinations that of how you get that? So then Krishna is given 8,400,000 so that the living entity can attribute, I mean, not can apply himself in his consciousness to all these different varieties. Because more than that, I don't think people are too worried about. Like, you know, you're an ant. Okay. So are you those little dinky little red ants that are so small but they bite so much, you know? Are you the little bit bigger ones? Are you the ones that are half red, half black? You know, are you the black ants? Are you the crazy black ants? You know, are you the medium sized black ants? Are those big monster black ants? You know, are those little flat ones that eat oil, or that kind of ant? Are you army ants? Or, you know, what kind of ants are you? So within one kind of mentality of ant, then they'll have the variety. So like that, he's just made all these things for the living entity according to his karma. But in the spiritual world, it's all about pleasing Krishna. So which forms are pleasing to Krishna? These are the ones that need to manifest there. But it's not that they don't know about all the 8,400,000, because they all spend their time in the Boma Lila. So they're all here. So you don't necessarily need them there. You know what I'm saying? The gopis have husbands here, but it's the same place there. So there doesn't need to be husbands there, because they have them here. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's that non-difference is nothing's lost. It's all there, but it's just it doesn't have to be manifest there. You know, it'll be manifest here. You know what I'm saying?
So the unmanifested pastimes turn into the manifested pastimes, and the manifested pastimes turn into the...
No, the ones here that you're saying, the manifest, they are part of the... They're the eternal pastimes, but they're only manifest here. Does that make sense? But so they don't make a distinction between the two places. We're the one that makes it, because we're controlled by time and space. They're not controlled by time and space, so they don't make a distinction. So, therefore then, the experience of it's already here. So you don't require it there. You know, you just have those things that are very pleasant, nice, you know, like that there. But you have all those things here. So it's not that they can't talk about them, or relate to them, or worry about them. Like the gopis are worried about husbands in Goloka, but they don't have them there. They have them here. But it's the same pastime, but the husbands only manifest here, and there they don't. That's the point, is that one pastime, but something manifests here and doesn't manifest there. And things may be there that aren't present here. But they just see it as one pastime. Does that make sense? Yeah. You had something?
Yeah, I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada, in his purpose, he always brings us to the two last level, Anandamaya and minimum Vijnanamaya.
Yes, yes.
Because this is the focus.
Yes, yes. Means he'll always, human life will start with Manamoy. But there's no point of that if you're not trying to understand the Lord. So trying to understand the Lord, like you said, then you'll have that spiritual platform. And then, but the real point is that the Anandamaya. Yes, so Prabhupada will always bring out Anandamaya, but show just the minimum of at least approaching it through Vijnanamaya. But you'll situate yourself in Manamaya properly. And below that, basically, for us, it's not, there's no interest to use at all. Though it may be, it's not that it's not an unpopular thing to try to use these lower levels. That's why it's vox populi, you know, means applies to these lower levels. It doesn't apply to the higher level. Because in Dharma, it doesn't matter what everybody wants. It doesn't matter that everybody can say one thing, but it's still not truth. That's the thing. Only on Pranamoy, what everybody says, we call truth. But it's still not truth. It just means it's a popular, you know, fact. Or a popular perception or illusion. So the whole, you could say from the Greek Empire is that they introduced the, you know, this Western thinking, Western philosophy is that we establish the standards rather than there's authority that establishes the standards. You know, so that's the difficulty. You know, and that goes back quite a ways. I'm not sure if the Ionians were 2,500 years ago or 2,500 B.C. B.C. So that means 4,500 years ago. So 500 years into Kali Yuga, then the Greeks introduced relativity. Right? And so then it's not about absolute truth. Because up to that point in cultures, it was always about there's an absolute and you have to adjust your life to that. But with the Ionians, they introduced, no, it's relative to what how people perceive it. People perceive it as important, it becomes important. They don't perceive it as important, it's not important. Like that. So then the absolute is no longer the gold standard. It's popularity that is the gold standard. Does that make sense? So this is, you know, by the grace of the Greeks. So, you know, it's not spiritual. Then if you take their philosophy and mix it with, you know, how you say the Judaic concept without Judaism, then you get Christianity. Right? So it's by sentiment based on monotheism, but by philosophy is based actually on atheism. And so the same thing will happen if you take Vaishnavism and you mix it with this vox populi and worry about what everybody thinks and everything like that, then you'll get the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in that way, then you could say, yeah.
We follow the tradition.
Because otherwise, you don't follow the tradition, then people will establish and you'll have to follow that. Does that make sense? Because whatever you say, then it has to be that. Because you can say, okay, the West doesn't follow the standard tradition, but they have their own tradition. Just like, let's say, within tradition in the West, should the shoes and the belt match? Yeah. You understand? But who created that? It's not coming from Shastra. It's just that some people with some taste and influence found that it worked better, and so they did it, and everybody else who has less taste and less influence followed it, until with time it just becomes the standard, the tradition. So the point is those who argue against the Vedic tradition, all they're trying to do is establish their own tradition. It's not that they're this liberal and broad-minded like they're saying, and it's always going to be open, because if they were open, then what's wrong with the Vedic tradition? Because it's one of the options. You understand? So it's a totally self-centered, self-motivated position. And it's working within the Anamaya and Pranamaya Purusha. But due to lack of understanding the philosophy, you're not seeing the Purusha. You're not seeing that actually it's about life or it's about nourishment. And that's coming from the Lord. So they don't get any spiritual benefit from that viewpoint. Maybe political benefit, maybe economic benefit, judicial benefit, but no spiritual benefit. Because spiritual benefit can only come when you actually see its connection to the Lord. Right? So direct activities are easy to see in connection to the Lord. Indirect, that's where the problem is. This is how you see the indirect in connection to the Lord. Right? Because let's say the grihastha is worrying about his family, right? So he's going to worry about their health and things. So what is that? That's the pranamaya purush. He's life. He wants to maintain them. He's nourishment. So then he's performing his duties to attain Krishna in that form. So he's taking care of his family, then he can appreciate he served the Lord in this form. But he has to see that. It's not that he just says it. He sees that. Then that's purified, and then we see it works very nicely. Right? And then if it's the Lord whose nourishment, if the Lord whose life, then that means you would maintain them according to what the Lord recommends is nourishment and what is life. Right? So does that make sense? So yeah. So then that's why then, you know, you have Ayurveda, you have all these other aspects that define how to function in these aspects of the five koshas in connection with the Lord. And so then functioning in that way, then we're able to see the Lord and then we're able to be Krishna conscious. That's the system. But it's either, oh, we don't get into that Vedic because that's all Maya, or we get into it and we're in Maya. One or the other. But the idea is that we see it connected to the Lord. In actuality, no, it's just, oh, we're just using it as a tool, preaching. But how does it work? What is it? You know, one should know. That's the whole idea. So, it's not that these things aren't done, because you see, as we're quoting from Prabhupada's purports and Bhagavatam and all that, all these points are based on Bhagavatam verses. Right? But they're in concise form, so they're sutras. Right? Because Bhagavatam is the actual original. But then, because you're talking from Veda, then the Upanishads, the essence of the Upanishads, all the Adhikaran is made in the Upanishads, they're in the Vedanta Sutra. But the natural commentary of what they mean, that's in the Bhagavatam. So they're both coming from the same source, is the essence of all the Vedic literature. But Vedanta is coming from Upanishads, and the Bhagavatam is coming from the Chaturshloki, or from this chapter. You know, as a Purana, it expands from this chapter. This is from what I've understood, is the original chapter of Bhagavatam. And then from that, all others expand. Because all they do is make philosophical points.
Which one?
Pairs of the personified Vedas. Then you have all the pastimes that show all these different aspects. Like that. So we do technically have scope to understand this. It's just whether we're more worried about this. You know, in other words, are we worried about bald guys like, what bald guys say, right? So are we worried about like the four Kumaras and what they're saying? Or are we worried about Covey? And it's just a matter of where you put your effort. That's the Purusha you'll see. So, yes?
Can you say that whatever level of consciousness that we're at or at someone's at, it also includes the levels below it? Are they inherent in it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. It's just a matter of where you focus. See, pranamaya means... it's about anamoya, but it's about working together so that everybody gets a better standard of anamoya. Right? And if you have dharma, that means it already includes artha. Because if you perform dharma, that's where artha comes from. There's the illusion that artha comes on its own. If you have a degree and you have a job, that's where artha comes from. But it's performance of your duty is where... just like... because you have a degree, is that why you get paid at the end of the month? No, it's because you do a particular work. And what work do you do? The one you're supposed to. And what time do you do it? When you're supposed to. You know, and which environment? The one that you're supposed to. So everything is according to, you're performing dharma, that's why you get paid. It's not that you walk in with a piece of paper and they all just start throwing money at you. You know, I mean, that would be nice, but, you know, it doesn't work like that. So in other words, you perform dharma, that's why you get artha, but people are too gross to see this. Right? So in other words, why you're getting money is based on the principles of dharma. You're working for somebody and doing a work valuable to them. And to that degree, you perform your work, you appreciate them, you know, the company that you're working for, you deal with everybody properly in the company, and that you understand the mood of the company and try to affect that. To the degree you do that, which is what's defined by Shastra, that's how much you get paid. It's that simple. It's dharma. But people are so gross, they think it's just I'm doing the work, I'm getting it, but, you know, we're not seeing that. And how are you able to do the work? Where did the brain come from? Where does the ability come from? That comes from Krishna. You know, that's Prabhupada's point, is that people are so impressed by the scientist, but where did the scientist's brain come from? That no one endeavors to find out. So that's the real point. The scientist is appreciated because he has a brain, but where did that brain come from? You know, everybody's got a brain. Why does his work in that way? I heard that Einstein, they, you know, preserved his brain so that they could figure out what's special about it, so they could make others' brains like that. You know, that's the thing. A whole lifetime of science, and you end up with your brain in formaldehyde, right? You know, that's your reward. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. It is not contradictory to say that Brahman has a body, tasyaiva eva sharira atma, for it is also said yasya prithvi shariram, the earth is his body, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.3. The Vedanta is also called sharirika, relating to the body of the Lord. Those who explain that the Brahmapucham is anandamaya are foolish. It goes against the natural flow of the text, which has a proposition and conclusion, and it destroys the intention of Bhadarayana and Varuna. So, in other words, it means sharirika is meaning he has a body, but the sharirika bhashya is saying that he only has the body of the, Anandamaya Purusha. But he's saying it's going against what Vyasadeva's stating and what Varuna is stating, that the Purusha has all these five forms. But of them, the highest is Anandamaya. Does that make sense? Yes.
It says here that Brahma Pucham is Anandamaya, and this is foolish.
Yes.
Brahma Pucham is all five of them.
Yes.
Which includes Anandamaya.
Yes, but the Shankarites say a Brahma Pucham is only Anandamaya, and the others are referring to the Jiva.
Oh.
You know? And then, from that, since you can define Anandamaya, then that actually also means the Jiva. But you're talking about the Jiva when it comes to that transcendental platform. So technically, they never talk about Brahman. They only talk about Maya. That's why they're Mayavadis. They only talk about Maya. Right? So Maya tricks them. So he's pointing out here, no, Krishna's all these levels. He's all these aspects. So if you understand that he's all these aspects, then that's when you'll be able to appreciate and see Krishna in everything. Then you can advance very nicely. It means if you can just apply the devotion, just surrender, that will be enough. But the point is in the gaps, you know, then you can apply this. Yes?
So what is the purified understanding of each level? Because if the jiva is natural, eternal state of existence, is anandamaya vyasa, so then what is the purified level of anandamaya manamaya?
So we said, seeing, how you say, how everything is maintained, or food, how everything's nourished, is all coming from the Lord. Lord is the actual nourishment. He's the life force. He's the thought process, you know, the reasoning process. He is the ability to tell difference between matter and spirit. That's there. So one can see like that, then you get the transcendental benefit. You don't see that core. You only see the secondary aspects, which the materialists do. Then you'll only see sense gratification, social systems, you know, some sense of theology or some sense of liberation. So dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Does that make sense? Yeah. Samsaya. So another doubt. No end to their doubt. We were just saying is that when you have the Samsaya and then you have the next point, then it's good to, just like you put Samsaya, then put Uttara, whatever it is. So, because sometimes in those, because what we'll say and what they'll say is the same, but at some point there's a little twist. And so then sometimes it's only when you get through, then you figure out, oh, this must be them, or this must be us. Okay? Yeah.
Should be us. Them.
Yes, yes. Us and them. Usins and them. Okay. Samsaya. Since the suffix maya means transformation, the word anandamaya means transformation of bliss, and thus refers to the jiva, not Brahman, which is bliss itself. Right? So they can't appreciate that there's transformation within bliss, but it still maintains its transcendental position. Because they, how you say?
Wouldn't bliss without transformation get boring?
That's why Mayavadis are very boring people. Like that. Like that. So, they're trying to say is that since it's there, the Ananda Maya, then it's not, it's about the jiva. So the jiva is coming to that platform and that. Because Brahman then is just the existence of bliss. But the point is existence itself, the happiness they're tasting is the happiness of existence. Does that make sense? It's not actually the happiness of it's not the happiness of happiness. Mm.
So like it's that. Not expanding.
Which?
The Brahman.
No, it's expanding. But the point is it's one. It, there's non difference. So there's no difference in flavor. Right. In other words, let's say everybody in the world is trying to be happy. Right. And everybody in the world has an idea if they can somehow or another manipulate the material energy, it will give them happiness. Right? So, the happiness that everybody's getting, the experience of happiness that everybody's getting in manipulating the material energy is the same. All are doing different things, but someone's the same. You know, one guy's jumping out of the airplane, parachuting, and saying, oh, this is where it's at. Another guy's climbing a mountain. Someone's going, and, you know, first time singing karaoke or whatever it is like this. It's all the same thing. Or someone goes on the stage. Like, they, whatever it is, it's going to give that effect. But because they're seeing it through the secondary, everybody thinks, therefore, because it gives a different effect, it must give a different experience. But it's actually the same. They're all dealing with Brahman, so they're only getting the experience of manipulating the material energy based on the laws of Brahman. But they don't get the benefit of Brahman because they don't know that's what they're dealing with. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So they're trying to say that this is all Brahman. So they're saying it's Brahma Pucham is Anandamaya, but at the same time they also say it's still the jiva. So, you know, then why even study this? That's the whole point. Why even study? Because whatever they're studying, it's all maya anyway, so then why don't they just go into the Himalayas and disappear and leave everybody else alone? They would be doing a great social benefit. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.17. Only if they become your faithful followers are those who breathe actually alive. Right? So that's the whole point, is pranamoy only becomes useful when they are following the Lord. Otherwise, the breathing is like that of a bellows. It is by your mercy alone that the elements, beginning with the Mahatattva and false ego, created the egg of this universe. Among the manifestations known as Anamaya and so forth, you are the ultimate one, entering within the material coverings along with the living entity and assuming the same forms as those he takes. Distinct from the gross and subtle material manifestations, you are readily underlying them all. In reality, you are the reality underlying them all. So he's taking the shape, but how is he taking it? It's not that he just sits there with the shape. It's that the shape is all aspects of the universal form. So in this way, the universal form has all the unlimited forms of heads, hands, noses, ears that you can have, and all the species of life and all the varieties within them. So an individual has a particular combination of that. So that is the form of the Lord. So he's taking that form, because otherwise we can't take that form. Because we think this is mine. We have to understand, no, this is Krishna's. That's the whole point. That's why we follow dharmas, because this form is actually Krishna's form. So then Krishna does what Krishna wants to do. So Krishna in this form, what would be the activities that he would want to do? That's then where the Shastra defines them in Varnashram. So this idea is we're not the body, we don't have to follow this. Basically, we should just say, I'm not interested in Krishna, I just want to do whatever I feel like doing, and that's the meaning of I'm not this body. Right? Does that make sense? And the fun part is the people who say I'm not this body at the same time also say we're Westerners, so we have to act this way. Where's the logic here? Where's any intelligence?
The soul.
The soul, okay. The soul has intelligence? Okay, good, thank you.
No, but it's for preaching.
Yeah. That's why when you're sitting in your house with no one else doing, then you're following all of your preaching tactics. Yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.47. What is realized as the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. Footnote 4. Although the bliss of Brahman is described here as unlimited, it is calculated in the Taittiriya Upanishad as 10 to the 20. The measurement of human bliss. Okay, so that's what is it? That's 1,000, 100,000, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. What do you call it?
Quintillion?
Quintillion? No, I think this is 5, isn't it?
Quintillion.
So 100 quintillion times the measure of human bliss, and human bliss is defined by emperor of the world with unrivaled sovereignty. So we're smaller proportions than that. Yes.
We're really down there, aren't we?
Yeah. So that's where you can add in that, what do you call it? Was the next quintillion? What was next?
Sextillion.
That's where we can add that in. We're down there.
So it's like human, dharmas, then the dead pitris, then the Indra, then sages, then Brihaspati, then Brahma, then Brihaspati.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it just keeps on going. So that's why they go for these things, because it's so much happier. But the point is the great personalities who know the taste of Krishna consciousness find this to be not even of any value. Yeah, it means to see, 10 to the 20, I mean, that's nothing. You know. When you have 10 and you have that little lazy 8 next to it, you know, then that's devotional service. Like that.
And that's just Brahman, that's not exchange of rasa with Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice to hear about, but experiencing it.
Yeah. But the point is if you compare the happiness you get from something material and the happiness you get from devotional service, you know, if you compare them very nicely, you'll see devotional service is giving more. We're just used to the other one, so that's why, just out of habit, we take it. But actually, it's more.
So all the living entities in this material world are desperate for bliss.
Yes, yes, like that. And so that's why Krishna consciousness then can actually give that to them. While these other forms will give higher levels of material happiness, but won't actually give any satisfaction. Okay, so here it's saying it's unlimited bliss without grief. So it's unlimited compared to what we have. But in reality, it's not unlimited. That's why that's why it said, do not consider the glories of the holy name to be exaggeration. Right? Because in the Vedas, they're putting definitions in the context of the perception of the viewer. And so therefore, the heavenly planets are amara, or deathless, because they live so long compared to us, that would be deathless. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole point. So, in comparison, it appears that way, but they die. Same with, you know, the bliss of Brahman, the unlimited bliss of Brahman. It's just so big compared to here, but at the same time, is it still not actually that? But when it says the glories of the holy name, then one holy name can destroy all the sin of the universe. That's not poetic license. That's actually fact. So that's why Vaishnavas aren't worried about prayaschitta and everything. Right? They're just worried about how to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In other words, the problem is not that someone's done something wrong. The problem is that wrong is not Krishna conscious. So it's very different than the materialistic view, where there's the aspect of justice. You've done something wrong, you need retribution to match that. Rather than, no, you've done something wrong, that's because you're not God conscious. So therefore, you correct it by being more God conscious. It's a very different approach. Like that.
I was just saying, there's that verse in the Ajamil pastime where it says, to atone for the murdering of a woman, if you chant Vishnu's name, it'll atone for the murdering of a woman.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first read that, I said, well, that's pretty light. You know, and I mean, you know, we usually put people who do that kind of thing to death. You know?
No, but the point is that in having taken up devotional service, then that will be cleared and you can move on. Because the point is to become God conscious. The reason that there's the aspects of atonement and retribution is that people are working on the mundane platform. If they become too sinful, then they'll only do nonsense. So only if they're pious will they. There's the chance that they'll that in coming in contact with devotees, then they'll have an interest. Because if they're too sinful, they won't. So therefore, then the acts of atonement and prayaschitta will basically bring it to a neutral state. But it doesn't bring it to a positive. So it's not a positive solution. So only chanting and devotional service is a positive solution. Right? So when you're working on this, the social level, you know, the government's working, they'll follow what, you know, Manu is saying. But when you come to the devotional level, then the point is no, you have to be absorbed like that. And so if one can remain absorbed, you don't worry about the past. But if they give that up, then it will be brought up. You know, just like, yeah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I wonder, is it Brahma Jyoti in an eternal place in terms of when the universe is destroyed?
Yeah, no, it's eternal. But the living entity staying there is not eternal.
So they go back to the Lord.
Means yes. Means they would merge back into the Lord. Means those in the Mahakala Purusha, you know, Vapuri, they would merge back into the Lord. And then when he breathes out, then they would go back into there, if that's where they belong. But otherwise, all living entities are basically on that platform when he breathes out.
Right.
But once Brahma then creates the secondary, that's when then they enter the universe and take up their position, their particular forms. So everybody has that position of absorption and karma. Then he breathes in, then their absorption and being merged in the Lord. And then they have that point where they're in the Brahman. You know, so they get all of that. The Brahman, the nothingness, and karma. So that's what we're doing here. That's the meaning of that raga dvesha bhaya krodha. So attachment, fear, and anger, those represent those three levels of consciousness. So attachment will mean karma, fear will mean, you know, the impersonal, and anger will mean Buddhism or voidism. So living entities just go through that every time he breathes in and breathes out. But then some will be situated, they'll stay in that Mahakalapura. Those are the ones that are on the Brahman platform. And they'll stay there basically until they get bored. You know, so it's like, let's say, if you're suffering in a suffering condition, let's say you're outside, it's really, really hot, you go into the room, the AC's on, it's nice and cool, so you sit down, you'll enjoy yourself for some time, but how long will that be? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then you'll want to do something as soon as it becomes balanced. In other words, when the pain of, or the remembrance of the pain of the heat goes away, then you want to do something else. So that's how long they stay in Vermont. Just take it that one breath is 3/4 of a second. You know what I'm saying? So you just put that together, then how many of these creations you'll be sitting in Mahakalapura? You know? Somebody a few minutes, somebody 5 minutes, you know, the really extreme ones, you know, 10 minutes. And then after that, they're back inside the material world. So as far as, you know, we are, oh, they're there forever. But at the same time as, no. Because as far as on the Lord's perspective, they're only there for a few minutes. So that's why it's not considered something very special. So when you're dealing with devotional service, where you're dealing with actual eternal, then all these other things are just, you know, in other words, material benefit, the best you get is 3/4 of a second, you know, as Brahma. You know, and everybody else is, you know, you'd have to put this into, how you say, minus, to kind of get where we're getting out of this, you know, like that. I'm saying, so when you get into eternal time, then all these material things really don't have any significance. That's why when they're saying, oh, it doesn't have any significance, they're not saying it like that, just to say it. Just like, let's say, one lady dresses up really, really well, and the other lady was also dressing up, but the first lady's dressed better than the second one. But then when she meets her friends, they'll talk about that first one and say, oh, that's nothing special. We're not talking about that kind. We're talking about it's nothing special. You know, it's just a few minutes compared to eternity. Who cares? So that's why they just really, really don't have any interest in it. So once one gets a taste in devotional service, these other things, there is no interest. You know? It's not that Haridas Thakur is sitting there chanting his japa, gritting his teeth while the prostitute's sitting there and just get through until the sun comes up, you know, like this. And like, no, he just couldn't care less. Right? There's no interest. Does that make sense? So that's the point of devotional service. While someone like Vishwamitra, who is so qualified, or even gets Lord Brahma to say, okay, you're a son of Brahma. You know? So he means he's materially extremely qualified. But Menaka comes along And, you know, she's not Urvasi. She's good. She's in the top five. But, you know, then there's, but still, you know, he has problem. So
anybody,
that.
Anybody would have problems in front of men.
Yeah, but I'm saying those are the devotees, they don't. That's the point, is because there's no interest. Because all of their beauty is simply coming from Krishna. So therefore, he's being the source, it's so much more nice in his manifestation and his devotees, because they're manifesting the beauty because it's connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So it's a matter of what we're... The idea is that the feminine form is the field of activity. So therefore, there's one perceives opportunity for sense enjoyment. But if one sees everything in connection to Krishna, then one doesn't see the field of activities as something for enjoyment or sense gratification. It's only for engagement in the Lord's service. So then, if that's the case, then at this time, Haridas Thakur and this prostitute sitting there, how to engage her in Krishna's service? Simply by hearing. Right? So then, by his chanting all night, you know, until the morning, then she became purified, where then she also became an Uttamadhikari, gave up everything, and that same hut where he was staying, she moved there. Because there was a Tulsi there, she moved there and just, you know, shaved her head, put on white, and sat there and chanted. So that's the thing, is he saw how this situation could be engaged in Krishna's service. So therefore, it's just by hearing. And so then the effect was there. So that's the thing, is what we're bringing out is they're in a different category. So that's the meaning of devotional service. It's not difficult. We're looking at it as difficult to conquer, but actually if one surrenders to Krishna, it's very easy, because it's, you know, that's the whole point. Yeah. Okay, that is certainly the ultimate, okay, what is realized is the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate phase of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He is eternally void of all disturbances and is fearless. He is complete consciousness as opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. He is the principal primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruit of activities, and in whom the illusory energy does not stand. So, you know, so he's beyond all these things, but he is everything here, because he's the cause, primeval cause of all causes and effects. So it means everything that has a cause, everything that has effect, the potency is him. That's the special point. So everything that we take is valuable. Do we understand? We've had an approach that we've been using always before, the Bhagavatam, how to take and how to engage whatever desires we have and everything in Krishna's service. You know, taking it that, okay, there's something of value here, we take it, we engage. You know, we have values. But here, Vedanta Sutra is just pointing out it's all Krishna. So there isn't anything else. There actually is not another alternative. The alternative to God consciousness is just illusion. It means you either see it for what it really is, or you're an illusion. That's the options. Right? Does that make sense? That's why the Upanishads, they don't have aparavidya. They have paravidya and avidya. Because if the aparavidya is not used, if it's connected to the Lord, it has the effect. It's transcendental. That's the Anandamaya Purush. I mean, the Panchakosha. But if you don't see it in connection to the Lord, that's illusion. Right? So in that way, you can say is that the aparavidya, that what you're connecting, that's transcendental, but that part you're not connecting in the mixed devotion, that's an illusion. So you still end up with transcendence and illusion. Right? They're just not, they're not putting any emphasis on the secondary aspect. The secondary aspect is just the Lord. Does that make sense? That's the difference, you could say, between the Upanishadic and the Puranic approach. The Puranas is also saying that, but it's starting with us in our position. So the Vedanta is when you're starting from a, you know, you want to know about the Supreme, and this is what's happening. So, but how to engage those aspects of us that aren't interested in the Supreme, that the Purana then explains. Does that make sense? Okay. Oh, so this was all his introduction to the next verse. Oh no, that was just the Govindavasya is the last.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't have the thing between then and this one.
Well, that's kind of the
Utripakasi.
Okay, that was, but that was our one.
Yes.
Correct. He didn't put one. Okay. Okay.
Well, whatever he puts, we include in the Utripakasi.
Oh. Okay. Sutra 1.1.13. Vikara shabdan neti chen na prachuryat. Vikara, transformation. Shabdat, from the word na, not, iti, thus. Chait, if, na, not, then prachuryat, because of abundance. One argues that the suffix maya means transformation. That argument is not correct, since the suffix means inherent abundance. Right, because here, as you're talking about the transformation, but they'll be looking at it from the material transformation, because they don't know about the spiritual transformation, so that's not the position of argument. Right. So here you say inherent abundance. Right? That's why that the comma is put there, because if you don't put the comma, then you could mix it around however you like. Right? But by putting the comma, then you're separating. If you want to mix, you can only use those first four words and then these last two words. You know, and na prachuryat and prachuryat na, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of difference. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, inherent abundance, just that he has unlimited qualities within each of these. So it's unlimited qualities within all this, how you say, nourishment and life and how you say, reasoning and how you say, being able to, and intelligence. These things, that's where it is. But the actual point is bliss is where he has the greatest abundance. Because these others, you don't have to show much abundance. It's abundant for us, but it's not abundant for him. Right? So just like, you know, the Brahman, it's if the happiness of Brahman is what, 100 quintillion?
100 quintillion.
Okay.
Yeah, quintillion. I mean, not taking exactly us, but just, you know, our standard, you know, human, you know, being of.
But even then, that's a pious human.
Yes, that's of course a pious. Yes, yeah, so I don't. We'd have to add quite a few more zeros for us, right? Yeah, that's the king on that. Then you have the Brahman and this. Then you go down and that. And then the antiyaja is out here. You know, like that. Yes.
When I hear all of this, we've all come here, according to the Shastra, we've all come here to try to compete with God, but it's really a lot better to be a living entity.
Meaning?
Well, we're so small, and if we got all this unlimited bliss that can just blow our mind available to us by becoming connected with.
Yeah. For us, it's much better.
Yeah, it's because, really great.
Yeah. Because for Krishna, he can do it, but we can't do it. So in other words, when we connect to the unlimited, we experience unlimited.
Right.
But if we try to make unlimited out of 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, we don't get a whole lot. So yes, like if we just recognize who we are, then that's where the happiness begins from that point.
But, stop fighting it.
Yeah, just stop fighting it. So it works. Yeah. So does that make sense? So if it's 100 septillion, no, quintillion. 100 quintillion is the happiness of Brahman. So that means it's so much less in the material world. How much of, and Brahman is just the existence, It's not even actual, the happiness. Happiness in the spiritual world is based on rasa, on bhakti. So that's the combination of the sambit and hladini potencies, not the sundini potency. You understand? So how much potency does it take to make the material world work? Right? So when Lakshmi Devi says a millionth of a millionth or a billionth of a billionth, it doesn't take a whole lot. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole Mahatattva. Not just, okay, this universe. No, the whole Mahatattva, that's all it takes. Does that make sense? So, what's there beyond? So, the inherent abundance in Anandamaya, that's where you really see unlimited. But the other is unlimited. But the point is how much do you have to apply? Very, very little. Does this make sense? Yeah. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. Shukracharya claims that the word maya in this context means transformation, vikara. And consequently, anandamaya means transformation of bliss. Hence referring to the jiva, footnote 5. The word vikara is significant due to its central role in Mayavad philosophy. Below is a brief overview of the term by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Advaitavad has two types, Mayavad and Vivartavad. According to Mayavad, the world is absolutely false. There is only one perception of the world due to illusion. There is only a perception of the world due to illusion. According to Vivartavad, the creation as real event is accepted to some small degree. Creation is of two varieties, vikara and vivarta. When a perceived object changes its nature but is accepted as true, that is called vikara or transformation. For instance, a true substance, milk, transforms into another true substance, yogurt. When a perception arises which is not true, it is called vivarta. For instance, to perceive a snake when only a rope exists, or to perceive silver when only a seashell exists, is vivarta, illusion. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, chapter 5. Moreover, vikara is used in Brahma Samhita to denote the manifestation of Lord Shiva from Lord Vishnu. Shiram yatada tivikara visesha jogat sanjayate nahitata pritakasti he toho. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, namely milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. Brahma Samhita 5.45. Similarly, Shankara intends to show that Anandamaya represents a transformation of higher Brahman, not the original higher Brahman itself. Okay, so that means within the Mayavadi school you have Varta and Vikara? Is that within the Mayavadis? Okay, so and they don't accept each other.
Yeah, well, that's connected, the vikara is connected to parinama as well. So there's either the transformation of Brahman or...
Oh, so Brahma parinama vad will be vivarta.
No, it's still vikara.
Vikara.
Yeah.
And so then when they say that, when they don't accept Brahma parinama, then that would be vivarta.
Yes.
Okay. So Brahma parinama is a smaller group, no?
Yeah, and then within that there's the Pratibimba and Parichaya. So they consider that the transformation of Brahman is either like the piece being cut off of Brahman, or it's like a reflection of the illusion.
Oh, so one is cut off and one is a reflection.
Yeah.
Oh, how you get the jiva.
Yeah.
Wow, they have to work so hard, don't they? Come up with all these things.
Yeah.
You know, they have to come up with it, and then there has to be no one else can defeat it, so basically it can get established.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the point being is that this word's very important to them. Right? You know, is it a transformation or is it like this? So that's the point. For them, it's a transformation of bliss. So that it's come down. So that means Shankara spoke in such a way you could get both philosophies. Just like Ramanuja spoke, and then you can get the water galais and ten galais. But actually, it was one philosophy before.
The Vivarta came after Shankara. It was disciples of Shankara who established Vivarta.
Oh, okay. So Vikara was
to address some of the difficulties with Vikara.
Oh, okay. So Vikara originally was the Brahma Parinama Bhava.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Okay, so that was original and then you get down to this more. Okay. That all makes sense, right?
No.
No? No? Okay.
That's okay.
We'll move on.
There's a lot that doesn't make sense.
You don't want to move on.
Vikara is Brahma Parinama Bhava. And Vivarta?
Vivarta? They have a name. It's Vivarta Bhava.
Whose transformation?
There's no transformation in Vivarta. It's just an alteration of perception.
Yeah, it's just illusion. It means there is nothing there. So the Brahma Parinamavad means there is a transformation, but they don't put much emphasis on that. So because you don't see it as a transformation of Brahman, it's illusion anyway. So again, they'll just focus on illusion. So therefore, Mayavad. It'll still be Mayavad. But it's just a matter of whether there is an original transformation or not. Is that really sense?
Yeah. So the Brahma Parinamvad is Mayavad.
Yes, it's Mayavad, but also the Vivartavad is also Mayavad. What we're saying is the Brahma Parinamvad was first, but because then there's the difficulties in it, then they came up with the Vivartavad. So in other words, the cure is worse than the disease.
Yeah, and the Vivartavad is these two definitions of Vikar and Vivarta. That's what is written over here. According to Vivartavad, the creation as real event is accepted to a small degree. Creation is of two varieties, Vikara and Vivarta.
Yes.
So, they too belong to the Vivartavadis, not to the Mayavadis.
No, Vivartavadis and the Vikaravadis are all Mayavadis.
Yeah, they are.
They're all Mayavadis.
But still they have their own categories in senses, Advaitavadis. Like.
They're all Advaitavadis. They're all Advaitavadis, they're all Mayavadis. It's just within that, whether it's Parinamavad or it's, you know, Vivartavad. Yeah? We're okay?
Yes.
Okay.
This Vivartavad, they accept that Brahman is the cause of illusion? Do they accept Brahman is the cause of illusion?
They accept Brahman is the cause of illusion. I think they...
Yeah, well, that's what the main difficulty is. If they do accept that Brahman is the cause of illusion, then there's some fault. There's
something in Brahman. So generally they say is that Jiva, he creates illusion. But then the problem is what's the jiva? The jiva is a manifestation of illusion. So they run it, in other words, it's going to be a part of their philosophy they aren't going to like to talk about.
Because that establishes like how philosophy that Brahman transforms. Like,
yes, because we're Shakti Parinamabad, not Brahma Parinamabad.
So they have to accept this if we...
If they want to make sense out of what they're saying, they have to accept our philosophy. That's the only way that they can actually reconcile like that. And then they would have to accept that technically then what they're interested in is their Brahmavadis. They're just interested in the Brahman aspect of the Supreme. But if you can accept that Brahman has qualities, so therefore it's transforming, so then, you know, so they'll discuss that among the lower level, because what's changing is the lower level. What is it? The higher Brahman, meaning the Vishnu form. They'll take that as the highest form of goodness. That's what's transforming. But not the original Brahman. But the problem is how do you get from the original Brahman to that higher Brahman? That they can't explain. So only we can explain. So the point is if you can accept that therefore there are transcendental qualities in Brahman, then why wouldn't those qualities be manifest and applied? If you manifest and apply them here, you get the material transformations and people find them to be nice. Why wouldn't there be the application of the transcendental qualities on the transcendental platform and they found to be nice? So in other words, you take it from Mayavad to Brahmavad to Vaishnava. So basically, I think that's what Tattvasandarbha does, like that. I've heard of known cases of impersonalists who, by reading Tattvasandarbha, have become Vaishnavas. Like that. Just that, you know, you need that technical explanation. That's all.
There's another philosophy called Eka Jiva Bhav, that there's only one actual jiva.
Yeah, no, that's the fun one. So which one is it? You know? Can you confidently say it's yourself? You know? Yeah, that one gets really weird. Like that was probably they came up with that one when they bumped in New Mexico, they bumped into Mescalito like that. Then they came up with that one, yeah.
I'm the only one who knows what you're talking about.
You didn't get that? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Two got that.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.